Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus Christ to you this morning. When I asked Michael to go ahead and put up that first picture this morning on the video, how many of us have seen this person at a sporting event holding a sign reminding the crowd of John 3:16? For God so loved the world that God gave God's only Son so that everyone who believes in Him may not perish but have eternal life. And I wonder how many people look at that sign with confusion. I did when I first saw it. What's that all about? I think I actually asked Missy, my wife, when we were dating what that meant. I mean, she was the one that went to all the Christian schools. But I would hope that as people see this sign, they might ask the question, what does John 3:16 mean? And look it up. For God so loved the world. It's a powerful verse, especially if you actually read it all the way through to verse John 3:21. Yet now, today, I believe it would be more beneficial to hold up a sign that said John 13:34. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. In the light of our readings today, in light of the action of our first communion students, and in light of saying farewell to intern Candace today, as she begins the next steps in her call from God, what is it that God calls all of us to do as we hear, for God so loved the world, and Jesus' new command, just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. I mean, really, fellow Christians, Lutherans, it's easy to say that we should love one another, but what does that mean? This agape, unconditional love seems to be more than what we can comprehend, let alone duplicate or emulate, especially when it comes to our current polarized culture and society and the diversity of religions and ethnic backgrounds. One of my favorite theologians, Dr. David Loos, asked three questions about love in today's readings. First, do we take seriously that love is the center of our faith? On the one hand, I suspect we do. For God so loved the world, most of us can recite it. On the other hand, many conversations I've had with Christians over the years have made me wonder what other things vie as candidates to be the center of our faith. Law, justice, knowing and doing God's will. And all of these things are very important, of course, but as the Apostle Paul once said, absent love, none of these things amount to a hill of beans. Okay, so that's not what he said verbatim, but you know, you understand what Paul was saying. Second, even if you know and believe that love is at the heart of things, why do we sometimes find it so hard to love? Or put differently, perhaps a better way, who do we have the hardest time loving? Is it people who are different from us? People who have hurt us? People who see things differently? Who? I think this is the question we don't often ask, but probably should. Particularly during election years, especially when the question of who's in and who's out seems to be part of every text and subtext in many speeches. And third, when do we love others well? What is that like? And just as much when we feel loved by someone, accepted for who we are, valued, honored, even cherished. What is that like? How does it change our lives? What might we learn from these experiences that can help us share our love with others more fully? I believe these questions, as much as they are spinning around in our minds, were twisting and turning in the minds of the disciples as they were connecting the dots when Jesus told them, "Love one another, just as I have loved you." Especially when he said it, probably even more powerfully, after his death, resurrection, and ascension. Let's look at Peter in our reading from Acts. Peter is befriending and sharing God's love with the Gentiles. To Peter's fellow Judeans, his Jewish siblings, the Gentiles were the other. The Gentiles were the ones no one trusted. Think of the centuries of disdain between these groups. Go back to the beginning. Think about Jonah and the Ninevites. He did not want to go to Nineveh because he knew the love of God would offer grace and mercy to the disgusting, evil Ninevites. Jonah could not get past the fact. His brain could not comprehend, let alone duplicate or emulate, God's inclusive love for the world. The inclusive love God has for all creation, for all God's people. But God intervened and led him there, even in the belly of a fish. So Peter, he was a little luckier. He at least got to witness the love of God through Jesus Christ as a follower. Then as he was with and beside the Gentiles, he noticed the love of God in them. He noticed God in the other. His Jewish siblings asked him about eating with the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. And he told them step by step what he saw in a vision that came from him or came to him three times. Something like a sheet with unclean animals, four-footed beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air was lowered from heaven, and a voice said to Peter, "Get up, kill and eat." But knowing his law, the law that was taught to him from his childhood, he stated he could not eat of this unclean food, and he refused. But the voice responded, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." Then Peter was approached by three men from Caesarea, probably Gentiles. And the Spirit told Peter to accompany them and make no difference between them and himself. Along with six others, probably his Jewish friends, they all met with the man who sent the original three, another Gentile. And this Gentile had seen an angel, and that angel asked him to send for Peter because Peter would give him a message that would save him and his whole household. Peter realizes Jesus or God shows up even to them, even to the other. Peter remembers what John the Baptist told him about baptizing with water, but Jesus will be the one baptizing with the Holy Spirit. Peter realizes that God's love is bigger than his comprehension. His revelation of what love looks like, he finally realizes it and figures it out. In Acts 11, we hear, "If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in our Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the other, the repentance that leads to life." God finds a way to enter the picture and intervene when we cannot comprehend, duplicate, or emulate God's love for the world. Like Jonah and Peter, our call is to be open to see God at work in the other, as God is at work in us. God works in those, even those we think who are on the outside. Now, we might need to travel to places we don't want to go, kicking and screaming, like Jonah, and be with people we don't feel comfortable with, even those we hate. We might have to forget some of our old traditions, like Peter, because the love of God is showing us a new way of doing things. Maybe, just maybe, we need to focus more on the love part of our faith and the love within our theology so that we can recognize God in the other. Even when our bias and shame keeps us from seeing the love of God as we feel we should or in the way we are used to, we are shown to trust that God's love is there. Even as we feel our country becoming more polarized and partisan, even when we find evil in the actions of others, we are asked to love even our enemies. Jesus is reminding his disciples and us in John 13:34, how much he loves us by saying, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another." We are told how much Jesus loves us, how much God loved us and loves us through Jesus, so that we might be empowered to love others, so that we can extend God's love through word and deed, and in this way, loving others just as Jesus loved us. To borrow a few more words from Dr. David Loos, he says, "We don't have to do this perfectly to do it meaningfully." Of course, even as we remember those who loved us, probably didn't do it perfectly, but it was powerful when they did it. God is love. This is what love looks like. God sent Jesus to us so that we would know God so loved the world. God loves us. And this love changes things. Knowing this and experiencing this empowers us to love others, even those who we struggle to love. We don't have to love perfectly. God does that. Jesus did that by going to the cross. But through the Holy Spirit and our willingness to be present, our willingness to listen, our willingness to be among the other, God continues to show God's self through the other. And then God's love to everyone. So next time you see the person holding up the John 3:16 sign, I hope you think of a sign that says John 13:34. For Jesus said, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And maybe, just maybe, sharing God's love is less about telling people about God's love and more about being present, attentive, and showing them God's love. Amen.